need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Praise God, I need you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23 and verse 9. Praise God. My eyes are really struggling with them tonight. Bear with me as I try to read. The print in my Bible is not especially large. I guess as I age, I'm going to have to get me another Bible with larger print because I struggle sometimes.
That's right there on that seat. Just big print.
Okay. I like this bigger Bible because if you have to hit the devil with it, it's going to hurt a little worse. Praise God. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 says this. Reads like this. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God, thy Israel hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his... I'm in 1 Samuel. Somebody didn't say something. I just realized that. I thought, this is not what... What am I doing wrong? It's not mentioned up here. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Abihite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together under his troop. There was a piece of ground. Everybody say it was a piece of ground. Piece of ground. Full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Brother, would you pray for us right now?
Thank you, Lord, for your graciousness. And thank you for tonight, all those that are here, and please be with those that are not. But please bless this word, Lord, that you will give us the guidance and the understanding that you are giving us to be able to honor you, Lord, and what you've done and what you're about to do in our lives. Thank you for everything, and please be with Brother Marsh. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach for just a little while, probably not long at all. Hopefully I can get in and out of the chute real fast. This will define you. This will define you. Now, I look at this story and you have to be amazed. Because you look at the story of Shammah and you look at what happens in the story. And you see that something happened inside of him that was different than what happened with everybody else. For the Bible said that they fled from before the Philistines. We're talking a lot of people that were also, I don't believe that they were just a bunch of wimps that fled out of that situation. I believe there were some strong, able-bodied that had proven themselves before. That they were fighters, that they were great fighters, that they had a spirit of tenacity about them. But there's something about the situation that they fled out of that. Now the interesting thing about the story is all of a sudden there's something that gets a hold of Shammah. When you see, when you begin to be overrun, come on now, when you begin to be overrun, come on, am I preaching to somebody today that in your life sometimes you feel overwhelmed and you're overrun and the instinct is to flight, the instinct is to go, the instinct is to leave, and that's what he, I'm sure, had in himself. But here's something here that we discover. For some reason, that bean field, which it was, that lentils, that bean field meant something to him that it didn't mean to anybody else. And he said within himself, this bean field is worth fighting for. This bean field is the stopping point. This bean field is the place that I refuse to back up on. I'm telling you, we are going to be the church of the living God like we need to be in the last day. We're going to have to come to a place that somebody said, I'm stopping right here and I'm going to fight the fight. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving an inch. I'm not backing up. I'm not going to stop until I have complete victory, and I'm going to fight in this field.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you that you might as well be honest and look around to see that there's a lot of people that have fled. But you've got to make up in your mind whether you're going to flee or whether you're going to fight. Hallelujah. You've got to wake up your mind, because you cannot be of a half mind.
No.
I want to fight, but I mean, this is a bean field after all.
Amen.
I want to fight. I know I'm supposed to fight. I was brought up to fight. Let me tell you something. If you got the Holy Ghost, you were brought up for the fight. You were brought up with a warrior's mentality. If you got the Holy Ghost and there's something inside you that tells you you're supposed to fight.
Right.
But the problem is, it's a matter of what we decide is important. We've got to find a spot. We've got to find a place that would strike us as the most important thing.
Right.
And be willing to fight there.
Everything's different.
Yes, sir.
Now, as somebody who studies history, especially warfare, if you get around me much, you're going to discover I really like studying history. And one of my favorite areas of study is the Civil War. And when they would come into conflict, and they would come into battle. You see, it wasn't like we have it now. I've often said, to me, the reason why I'm so enamored by the Civil War is because things happened back in that time that would never happen in this time.
True.
With modern technology.
True. Right.
Sometimes the enemy would come up and bump into one another where they didn't even hardly know they were there. Today, that would never happen, Brother Brett, but because they were fighting in that particular time.
Right.
That they did not have those advantages that we had today.
Nope.
And what they had to do is they had to discover, where do we want to really put our greatest forces down?
Right.
Where do we want to build our earthworks? Where do we really want to fight the most? Where is it most advantageous for us to fight? To make sure that we have the best possibility to win. And so they would look around, they would look at the topography, they would look and see where they had an elevated place where they could see at a higher place than where their opposition was.
Right.
This helped them to have the advantage that they need. What I'm telling you is they picked out a spot where they said, we're going to put our backs to this place, and we're going to come out fighting. I'm here to tell you that you better find that place in your relationship with God. I'm here to tell you that the devil is still trying to kill people. He's still stealing, killing, and destroying. And the only way that you're going to come out successful, you're going to have to find a bean field somewhere in your experience with God. When you get pushed around, when you realize what's at stake, when I say when you realize what's at stake, you'll fight if you understand what's at stake. There was something I cannot explain. Only God knows what he put inside of him. But he put something inside of him that caused him to say, this is where we must prevail. Sometimes it's those things that seem to us to be so inconsequential that turn out to be the most important things. My Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Sometimes it's the things that are not obvious that are most important. I'm here to tell you that it's the small, it's those little boxes that's full of grime. There's been many a person who refused to fight in the place that they knew that they were most vulnerable and most susceptible to attack. And because they would not fight, because they did not recognize the value of the ground upon which they stood, they refused to fight. And I'm here to tell the church of the living God, if there ever was a day that we understand the value of the ground that we stand on, it's in this day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need to understand the value of the real estate upon which we stand. But we stand upon a message, my friend, a message of truth, a message of one God, a message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, a message of deliverance, a message of joy, a message of peace, a message that has stood the test of time and will always stand the test of time. We stand on some valuable real estate, and it's time to throw our shoulders back and say, hey, devil, I might not be doing well right now. I might be reeling. I can imagine it's probably so that when it first happened to him, maybe he was like a lot of us and maybe kind of off his game. Maybe, just maybe, he reeled a little bit before he righted himself. But how does one individual... Don't you tell me just because we got a small number that we can't do anything.
Amen.
If one person can find a bean field and defeat the Philistines, our God is not any different than He was then. He's still the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He's looking for somebody asking the question, will my church recognize the moment that they're in? Will they recognize the day that they're in? Will they recognize the hour that they're in? Is there a mean feel in their life? Is there a mean feel in their spirituality? Is there a mean feel worth fighting for?
Amen.
It will define us. You better hear me. I said that question will define this church.
Amen.
It will define me. It will define you.
Amen.
That one question. Amen. Praise God. You see, Shammah was one of the King David's mighty men. And I am sure that his life was full of many faithful and powerful acts that probably never, that I know of, never got recorded. Maybe they recorded in an abstract way that we don't know. Some people surmise some different things. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what he did in terms of faithfulness and goodness and his structure, what I meant to say, and his powerful relationship and determination that he had, it was this moment in this bean field that were ever, forever, forever, forever defined who he was and would define the power of God in his midst to those people. They would look and see that there's some things worth fighting for, even though they don't look like they're worth fighting for. I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of people that have not yet made up their mind that this thing is worth fighting for. Because if they believe that this was worth fighting for, you will see them on the front lines of prayer. You will see them on the front lines of worship. You will see them on the front lines of study. If they really believe that this is the main field and this is the place that we are to fight,
amen.
It will tell on us whether we believe this or whether we don't believe this. Because this is the defining thing. Shammah. I don't know what got into you, Shammah, but something got into you. And I got a feeling it was simply the challenge. You see, you and I were born and raised grace and spirituality for challenges like this. Yes, we are.
Amen.
Praise God. But he fought in a place that everybody else decided it's not worth it. This is not the place I want to, this is not the place I want to spend my energy. It's not worth it. And so they fled, all except him. I'm telling you, if you look around today, you'll see plenty that have decided this is not the place. But I'm here to tell you, this day, this moment, this battle will define us. Brother Marsh, this church is so small. We have about 40 people, and we are in a city of about 5,000 people. Yeah, I guess some would say it's a bean field. But you see, you and I are going to have to decide whether this bean field is worth the fight, if it's worth our energy. And I say, if we determine that it's worth the fight and it's worth the energy, then it's high time to pick up the sword and let it cleave to our hand and swing that sword with everything that we've got if we come to the conclusion that this is the place for us to stand and to fight. Because those 5,000 people in this city are only representative of this city. There are still surrounding areas that need the gospel, that have never heard the message of Jesus' name, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the living consecrating to God. They go to a place where the preacher does not give them anything more than a form of religion. But you was not so about you, but you have them armed with a sword and the ability to be trained to fight. But you've got to fight spiritually. You can't fight carnally. Hallelujah to God. This thing is a spiritual fight. So yeah, I guess some would say that Dundee is a bean field. But it's the bean field that we've decided that the Lord... And when you interpret what this place... What Shammah was in terms of the definition of his of what his name meant, it meant the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. Isn't it amazing? Of all the places that the Lord could have manifested his presence, he manifested in a man deciding to fight in a bean field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So before you tell me it's only a bean field, I'm here to tell you that you don't know how God will show himself strong.
Amen.
I said you don't know how much and to what degree God will show himself strong.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Because I've been around some of you long enough to know I feel the power of God among you when you begin to pray, when you begin to sing, when you begin to worship. You got a sword. You got an ability. But you got to make up in your mind that I'm going to fight in the big field. And this is a place. This is a strategic place. Come on, let's be somebody. This is a strategic place that I have to get in and fight. The Civil War soldiers, they took out their little small shovel. Didn't amount to nothing. And they started digging. They worked them poor soldiers to death. You hear me? Those boys, they worked them to death. And then they had to fight in a war that when they got shot, all they basically had was morphine to deal with the pain. And when that wore off, you wouldn't have wanted to have been them. But there they were, and they dug the place of entrenchments. You see, somewhere in your spiritual life, you got to dig out entrenchments. You know why they dug the entrenchments? Because they were trying to give the enemy... Because let me describe what an entrenchment looked like. There's more than one kind, okay? They had different things. But if you ever go to a Civil War battlefield, you notice that the ground, and it's the after effects of what is old earthworks. And the ground is built up. They put all kinds of things there. Why did they do it? Because they would take head logs, big old logs, and they would put it on top of that earthen work. and they would get down low, they would put that musket through that hole, and the enemy could not as effectively shoot them because of the head log that was above them and the groundwork that was in front of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
That's what entrenchments would do. So what am I telling you is I'm telling you we need to start digging some entrenchments. When you start digging entrenchments, the only thing about entrenchments is you can't leave it just because it's inconvenient. Because if you leave your entrenchments just because it's inconvenient, you're in danger of being defeated and destroyed. You have to be committed. Come on now. You have to be committed to what you have built. I said you've got to be committed to what you have put together. That's what we are. We put together something when we live for Him. We are building something.
Amen.
We are building something. Do we have enough confidence in what we're building?
Amen.
That we stand a great chance for victory.
Amen.
Because I'm here to tell you, had those people not been willing in the Civil War and past wars to dig, I said to dig, and prepare themselves to battle, if they had decided, well, you guys can work over here all you want to, but I don't care to do all that work because I don't think it's necessary. I'm here to tell you, you better hear me and what I'm saying, because we're living in a day and a time that there's a lot of people say, hey, you can do what you want to over here, but I don't think it's necessary, so I'm going to be over here with my crowd. The problem is when the enemy starts shooting at you, you're not going to have the headlock. You're not going to have the earthen work to protect you. You're not going to have any of that. You're going to be subject to whatever the enemy throws at you.
Right.
So we have to dig and get resolved that we're going to fight right here.
Amen.
Amen.
As much as I don't like some people in history, like Joseph Stalin, he told them, you better not go back. Don't give them an inch. Now, he was not a good leader. But he understood one thing. You've got no chance unless you have enough resolve that you say, I'm not moving from this spot. We will know that we are beginning to arrive as a church empowered the way you are. And I'm not trying to throw off on us, believe you me. But I'm trying to build up your faith and help you to understand that there's moments that you understand you're in the will of God. There's moments that you understand you're on the move for God. There are moments that we didn't need this kind of preaching, folks. Hey, we would do something different because we don't need this if we're not serious about fighting the fight that it takes. But Brother Watson's about to bring in evangelists. And we better be ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to sure, if he's worth his salt, he's coming with a mindset to fight. But I'm wondering, is he going to find earthworks? I'm wondering if he's going to find people to say, hey, we're in this fight. Or are we going to say, hey, good luck? Let me tell you something. He can't carry it by himself. I can't carry it. We can't even carry it together. We've got to make up our mind that the mean field is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the only thing that's going to work.
Amen.
So when that evangelist comes, I pray that when he comes that he knows that he's among the people of God that knows how to pray. They know how to get a hold of God. They know how to fast. They know how to get to pray and seek the face of God. They know how to worship. They know how to work with people that need God.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need him to come in here as the leader of the moment in the fight. Praise God. Praise God. Closing up here. When I see how the Lord's noted, when I think about the small things that seemingly are unimportant, like that bean field, when my mind starts racing, Brother Brand, over different things in my, that I've seen in the Bible, that I know of in personal life, but especially that I've seen in the Bible, I really begin to take notice You see, when I see how the Lord noted the widow's two mites.
Right.
Two mites. But He noted it. Why? It's so small.
But it was all,
so insignificant. It don't take all that. Brother Watson, it don't take. We ain't got to pray and fast and say, it just don't. Don't take all that. It's just. It's like two mites. Compared to everything going on in the world, compared to all the political corruption, compared to big cities that need God, and it's just two mites. Folks, what seems one way to you, God sees altogether different.
Amen.
And He looked at that two mites, and you can't tell me He didn't bless that thing over many, 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 many times.
Amen.
Because if you put the fish and the loaves in His hand, He knows how to multiply.
True.
Thank you, Lord God.
So we're going to have to get, what am I saying? I'm saying we're going to have to get the right mentality. Somebody say it with me. We need the right mentality. We need the right mindset. And we need to figure out, where do we take the stand?
Amen.
Where do we take the stand? Would you stand on your feet? Could you bow your head with me? Lord, so many times You have spoken to us. Lord, so many times You're trying to get our attention about where we're at in the last days, on the clock, on the timetable of the end of times. If we're ever going to find a bean field in our life to fight and show ourselves strong and mighty, this is our chance and our opportunity. For Lord, the coming battle in 2024 will in no small degree define who we are as a church. And how we face the coming events that are coming on this world. We will be defined whether we run in the face of the enemy or we fight in the bean field, because we see value in the real estate upon which we stand. We must, Lord, we must value the ground upon which we stand. We must guard ourselves, Lord, with the truth and the Word of God. We must guard ourselves with the sword to fight the enemy. For the enemy is trying to take our children out. They're trying to take our loved ones out. They're trying to set it on this church. Even though we are just in the main field and we don't even represent that many people. Because we are still a threat, the enemy desires to take us out. And the only thing, Lord Jesus, that will save us, we've got to get what shall our head. Lord, we've got to get what shall our head. We've got to get what shall our head. And we must determine that we're going to fight and appreciate the crown. Because if we stand and we will fight until our last breath, but we are going to fight the enemy in Jesus' name. And we want to plead the blood. And we want to preach the gospel. And we want to sing songs of Zion. We want to sing songs of joy. We want to sing songs of deliverance. And we want to fight in the bean field upon which God has put us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Holy God, thank You. Thank You.
Thank You, Jesus.
Take up the sword and begin to fight.
Yes.
Thank You, Lord.
Yes.
Preach one down of that. That text, I've loved this day past my last time.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Uh-huh.
Tell you. God's looking for somebody that's willing to fight.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. If you're going to make it this life that we're living right now, you're going to have to get some fighting.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the truth.
That's
the truth.
We're not warring against flesh and blood.
That's right.
But a principality is a power.
That's right.
Wickedness and powerlessness. These are the things we're fighting.
Amen.
One can put 1,000.
Yes.
2, 10,000.
Yes.
300,000.
That's right.
4 million.
That's right.
What? How much more could we do if we fight together?
That's right.
You know, growing up, before I ever came to God, you know, I had friends that said, I'm with you.
Uh-huh.
I'll fight with you.
Uh-huh.
And you turn around and look at Brother Daniel, and there ain't nobody but you.
Yeah.
And you're standing there all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God that you got to fight.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to fight. You got to fight your way out when you don't have nobody to stand with you.
That's right.
Man, you gotta fight. Shanna fought to the very end. Thank God he won the victory.
Yes.
He didn't do it on his own. There's the Spirit of God, just like it came on Samson, it came upon him.
Yes, it did.
Amen. Because he was willing to fight. Amen. How many is willing to fight the good fight of faith?
Amen.
Amen. Stand for this truth. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Marsh.